Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verses 18 to 25. It's page 1374 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear people of God, loneliness is painful. It's experienced in different ways, but it affects all age groups. And the hurt is the same. In early life, it manifests itself in having no one to play with, no one to eat lunch with, not being invited to a birthday party. Everybody else was invited. Maybe when you're a teen, it gets hard because you're being ignored, put down, not included in social activities, or just feel you can't compete with the other kids. Takes on some different forms for the elderly, but becomes pretty critical when a spouse dies and eating meals alone. You get in the car and there's nobody in the passenger seat. You face the challenges by yourself. You come back to an empty house. It's the same for divorced people. Or maybe you've just lived with someone for a long time. Could be a sibling, a parent, even a roommate. And something happened and you end up with an empty house. Now I know we can feel alone and not be lonely, and we can be in a crowd of people and be all alone. And the worst lonely feeling is when we're in relationships and still feel alone. Now I realize there's lots of discussion points here where we can get into introverts, extroverts, ambiverts, all of that stuff. I love that stuff, but I don't have time for all of it this morning. But the human remedy, having somebody to do things with. Even if you have one friend that can make all the difference, someone who'll send you a text message, call you on the phone, say, "Hey, let's do lunch." Someone that you feel cares. Now, loneliness is a natural sentiment because we were created to be in relationships. We were created to be in relationships with each other and with God. It already started in Genesis 2, verse 18, where God, he's created Adam, and then he says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created Eve. And the reality is, we need each other. God is a relational God. That's why we always talk a lot about relationships. God is a relational God, and the perfect relationship is actually the Trinity. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it's not surprising we have problems with both our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, because sin affected everything in this world. How many hurting, broken relationships are you familiar with? How many have you gone through yourself? This is not foreign to anyone. Relationships of husbands and wives, parents and children, grandparents, our grandchildren, and siblings. Relationships and the challenges. And none of us are exempt. And this time of year can make it even more emotional. And so in all of this, the gospel is the good news. God is a relational God. Three persons, one God in relationship with himself and in relationship with us. And here is the ideal. John 17 is actually a beautiful chapter. It's called the High Priestly Prayer. Jesus praying. This is the night he was crucified. But it's a very personal prayer, and he's praying to his heavenly Father. And he says to his heavenly Father, I in them, that would be us. Jesus wants to be united in with us. And then he says, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. What is unity? What is harmony? To be in a good relationship with the Heavenly Father and with each other. And it's an area we all struggle with. Now, good movies and good stories often portray hurting people, and then a rescuer comes. You might have seen that on Hallmark, I don't know. To befriend, to assist, to liberate. And that usually really speaks to our hearts. We like those stories. But you know what? Those stories, the theme of those stories, you know where they got that? That's the theme of the whole Bible. They didn't come up with that. That's the biblical theme. God has done this from the beginning of time. That's what makes our God so amazing. Remember in the Garden of Eden? After Adam and Eve ate of the fruit offered by Satan, they knew they had sinned. God lovingly comes, and what does he say? Adam, where are you? He came really to rescue him. You know, it's a sad game of hide and seek. When you're the one hiding, nobody looks for you. Think how blessed Adam was that God came looking for him. He could have just left him alone and said, you blew that one. See how you make it on your own. God knew where Adam was. He was just seeking him out. Adam, in his shame, his embarrassment, in his guilt, he hid from the presence of God. But God, in his love, came looking. Emmanuel, God with Adam. The reason I say God of Adam, he was the only person there. And then he brought him to Eve. After a horrible time of slavery in Egypt, the book of Exodus story, God came looking for the Israelites and rescued them. He directed Moses. He said, Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Emmanuel, God with the Hebrews. Sometime after that, they camped at Mount Sinai. God had just given them the Ten Commandments, and he says to Moses in Exodus 25, then have them make a sanctuary for me. It was the building of the tabernacle. Make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Where did God want to dwell? He wanted to dwell in the middle of the camp. When they camped at night, there were three tribes on one side and on the other side. On each side, three tribes. God was in the center. Why? Emmanuel, God with the Israelites. And then in Isaiah 7:14, the Old Testament prophet foretelling Jesus' birth. Listen to this verse. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, God had a great plan. A great plan. He would come to earth in the likeness of us, likeness of a person, and still be fully God. We use a fancy word for that. We call that God incarnate. And he would stoop down. In other words, it's kind of like when you're playing with your grandkids. You get on the floor with them, hoping you can get up again. Getting on the floor and then crawling around with them. God did this. He come down to our level. John Calvin says when God talks to us, he really uses baby talk. We could never understand it if he talked like God talked. And then he would reconcile the people, us, to himself. It's an incredible story. He would be a mediator between us and him. And this is what makes God so amazing and so appealing. Matter of fact, God would make a new covenant. That's why Jeremiah talks about that, and Hebrews confirms that. And at the communion meal, Jesus says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." The new covenant, and we would be at peace with him. We would be in communion with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Was there a risk for God? Yeah. See, in the Garden of Eden, Adam hid from God to avoid him. When the Israelites built the tabernacle, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, the children of Israel sought other gods, and they worshiped at pagan temples and shrines. Later, through the prophet Ezekiel, God says, "My desire is to give you a heart of flesh." In other words, a soft heart, a heart that can respond, a heart that can be loving, a heart that can be kind. A heart that can worship me. But instead, they preferred hearts of stone. They didn't want God with them. See, all the plans seemed to fail. Tomorrow's Christmas. It's actually called the fullness of time on God's calendar. Whenever God does anything, it's always in the fullness of time. Another way to put that is in his perfect timing. You couldn't improve on it. It isn't like, "Oh, I should have come yesterday. Day late, dollar short." No, with God, it is the perfect, perfect timing, the fullness of time, Christmas. And God says, "You know what? I'm going to come to earth myself as a baby." There's nothing frightening about a baby. And then people will be drawn to me. And they'll want to be in relationship with me. And they'll want to love me. And so he's born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. This is as vulnerable. I cannot get my mind around it, that the God who spoke all of this into being, Genesis 1, came to earth as a baby, completely helpless. Think about it. He created Adam and Eve as a man and a woman. Now he is, in essence, inside the woman he created as a little infant, as a little baby, incapable of doing anything. Fully God, fully human. It's as vulnerable as God could get. Emmanuel, God dwelling with his created yet hard-hearted humans. And you know the story, there was no room for them in the inn. Rejected again. The Bible says he came to his own, God with us, but his own received him not. That'd be another way of saying, thanks, but no thanks. And today, God still wants to live in people's hearts. But hearts are still hard. Hearts are still busy with the things of this world. And it's really easy to read the Bible and to read the Bible stories and to see how people did it all wrong. But a fair question is, as you celebrate Christmas, is there room for Jesus at his own party at your house? Will he be invited? Will he be invited? Is there room in your heart for this Jesus whose birthday we're celebrating, because we say we're glad he came. Would that be evident in what you're experiencing as you celebrate Christmas? Can you say, Emmanuel, God with me? Or would you say, not right now? I'm kind of busy. A lot going on. Check with me later. Christmas. It was such a great plan. God, through Jesus, would be able to tell us what God is like. Jesus teaches us that, right? He says, if you know me, you know the Father. And then we learn how much he really loves us, what it means for us to belong to God's family. It's an eternal plan. We live together, one household forever. Emmanuel, God with us, permanently, never having to say goodbye. What's the hardest thing about when you're together with people you love when it's time to say goodbye? We're looking forward to a world where that word will have no meaning. There will be no goodbyes. Jesus teaches us that God, the Heavenly Father, is a God of love, of compassion, and of mercy, seeking the hearts of people. That he's a God of purity, he's a righteous God, but he's not a God from a distance. He is a God who is close by, who came to rescue us and love us. We just sang, O little town of Bethlehem, and then the line, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The only remedy for our hopes as well as our fears is Emmanuel, God with us. And God manifests this over and over. God with us in every area of his ministry, starting with his birth, leading to his death on the cross, his glorious resurrection, his ascension, as we await his return. Just look at that with me. When we see Jesus in the manger, we already see God incarnate. One of the carols we sing that, right? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. And sometimes we sing things and we have no idea what it means. But what it merely means is he's fully God and he's fully human. And if he wasn't, none of this, the rest of this, would have any value, meaning, or benefit. So in the creche, God incarnate. In the cross, God the Redeemer. In the resurrection, God the victorious one. In the ascension, God in his glorification. It's amazing stuff. So what do we do with it? Go home and say, boy, the preacher is pretty excited this morning about that stuff. Or is it touching your hearts? Is it touching your hearts? Do we have soft hearts where we respond, where we want to worship, where we want to praise him, where gratitude flows out of us, where we say, yes, I want to spend more time with him and get to know him better and do our devotions and study our Bible to be equipped and to be strengthened for the journey of life. On the journey of life, when we remember Emmanuel, God with us, it changes the journey. It's important to remember God with us in dealing with our families. It's important to remember that when little kids are sent off to school, God with us. When older kids go off to college, when we're planning a wedding, God with us. How about at work? Do you think about it at work or maybe at your leisure? That in all of that, it's God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. How about our social gatherings? Another way to put this is God welcome in the routines of my life? Or is he somebody I visit Sunday mornings at 8th Reformed or on Jethro? Or is he part of my life every day? God with us. When we deal with our medical stuff, when there's an accident, with death. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the good news. That's why the gospel's known the good news. This is why the angel said to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news." This is the good news, God with us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. This is for you. Emmanuel, God with you. God with you. It's an amazing God that we serve. His desire is to be in relationship with us. You've heard me say before that every other religion, people are just trying to crawl their way up to satisfy their God. In Christianity, God came down to find us. His desire to be your God, your King, your Redeemer, the hope of our lives and the entire world is tied up in His birth. Ever think about that? The hope of the entire world is tied up in His birth and His life. Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. In His plan of salvation, the cross and forgiveness. Easter, Emmanuel, God with us. The full restoration and renewal. When we look forward to Christ's return, remember 4 weeks ago we did, "Are you ready? He's coming back." David played the trumpet. It's Emmanuel, God with us. No more guessing. You can have certainty in life, and you can have certainty in death because of who Jesus is. Jesus Christ, the light and the life of the world. We light the Advent candles. Emmanuel, God with us. We sprinkle the water of baptism. Emmanuel, God with us. We eat the bread and drink the juice at communion. Emmanuel, God with us. To truly celebrate Christmas and live life to the fullest, this has to be real for us. Emmanuel, God with us. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, one day to Christmas, approaching 2024, not one of us here knows what the future holds. Will we be here next Christmas? Will we be here to see 2024 come in? Will we be here tonight? We don't know. But there is no need to live in fear or apprehension. Hear and believe the good news as we prepare to celebrate His birth. Everything is okay because of Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the wonderful plan that you instituted and then carried out. That you are the God who is with us. That we never have to be alone. And you have promised that you would never forsake or abandon us. And that you and you alone are the one that can rescue us. Thank you for the beauty of the Christmas story. Thank you that Jesus came. Will you keep touching our hearts in such a way that the story of Christmas stirs our hearts in a new and fresh way, and that we want to worship you and praise you because you are Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.